2 Chronicles chapter 26. Praise God. You've heard the old adage, God helps those who help themselves. Is that good scripture or what? If you can, find that text for me and I'll preach from it tonight. God helps those who help themselves. Sometimes we quote it as though it's scripture. And sometimes we live as though it's scripture. But it's not actually written that way. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament here, we can find it in different places in the book of Chronicles. We can find it in other places as well. But it tells us who it is that God helps. Who is it that God helps? We find in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse number 7, and God helped him. I like those words. There's times that I think that I can testify to that very thing and change the word him and put my name in there. Because God has helped me. I suppose you can do the same. Many times over, you can take him out of there and just put your name in. God helped me. God has helped. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to say that the great God, the creator of the universe, is our helper. Is my helper. That I can trust in him to help me even in the minute details of life. The minuscule things, the small things. We almost act foolish sometimes thinking that we can go to God, the creator of the universe, and ask him to help us find our keys or find our glasses. I guess I'm in Martin County, so I'll say it your way. I was using the brush hog the other day. It's bush hog to me, but running the bush hog the other day, and I was going backwards, and a limb smacked around and knocked my glasses off, and they went all the way to the ground. So here I am out there in tick-infested grass on my hands and knees looking for glasses. Lord, if you'll help me find my glasses, I'll be able to find my glasses easier. Just couldn't locate them. I thought, that's crazy to have to call Jonathan to come out here, or call somebody to come out here and help me find my glasses. Dare not move. I found them. But doesn't it make you feel like, God doesn't care about those things? We say that when we go to testify about it. Isn't it amazing that God isn't concerned about the details to help us in those small things? It's a wonderful thing to realize that the creator of the universe is our helper. If you flip back a few pages to chapter 16 and verse 9, it tells us that he is looking for people to help. Let me just go ahead, jump back there to that. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's looking for somebody to help. Now that makes it a little easier for us to go to him, doesn't it? Lord, would you help me? Well, do we get things confused when we say that the Lord helps those who help themselves? Are we a little mixed up on that? I think there's some things that we're mixed up on. There's some things that we think that we understand, but sometimes we have these little cliches or these little ideas that may not really confirm those things. For instance, despite God's omnipresence, despite the characteristic of God to be everywhere at one time, God is not with everybody. Now, that word "with" is in parentheses or quotation marks because there's something a little bit different about that word "with." God in His omnipresence, being everywhere at one time, isn't with everyone. Chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles gives us a better picture of what I'm talking about. Verse number 2. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Bethlehem. The Lord is with you while you be with Him." Is there an implication there? I believe there is, but let's continue. "And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Those are startling words, in a sense, to think that God is not with everyone. Despite Jesus Christ being our Savior, God does not save everyone. John's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse number 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." There's some criteria that's involved. We want God to be with us, we're going to have to be with Him. If we want Christ to save us, we're going to have to receive Him. Despite God's great desire to help people, He doesn't help everybody. His eyes looking, running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Who does God help? You see, there's a part that we must play. There's a role that we must fill. It's more than just helping ourselves, doing things on our own. But that our heart is perfect toward God. Our heart is abandoned to Him, surrendered to Him, committed. Committed can be similar to the idea of a single eye, a focus of one eye. Somebody said that we don't really know if we are such until we have been put to the test. God will try our commitment, our surrender, our abandonment. He will test that. He will prove our commitment. Well, there's a lot of examples that we could use, even in Scripture, to bring that out. Then we could probably spend a lot of time even going around the sanctuary tonight and hear from testimonies where God tested our commitment, proved us. If we go back here to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we see that here was a new king on the block. He was just a young man. Asa was 16 years old. Uzziah here in chapter 26. Asa was in a previous chapter. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became the king. I love my kids. I think highly of my kids, but I don't think that 16 was a year for any one of them to be a king or queen, Janae. Man, that's young. But perhaps the key to Uzziah, and even if you go back and look at Asa, it's the same thing, I believe. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, it's written there, verse number 5, if you have your Bible open. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I think that's the key, isn't it? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, it does say that he was seeking God in the days of Zechariah. It would give us an understanding here as we look at Zechariah's ministry, that Zechariah understood God's ways, and he provided godly counsel to Uzziah. Provided godly counsel to Uzziah. Let me say that again. Zechariah provided godly counsel to Uzziah. You say, well, what's so important about that? The most important thing about that is that Uzziah had the opportunity to either accept that godly counsel or turn his back on that godly counsel. Uzziah was the man of power. He was the representative of the kingdom. He was the top dog, so to speak. He could have easily said, Zechariah, I really think you're missing it here. But he received the counsel of Zechariah. And we find that Uzziah gave God the preeminence, that he gave God the first place in his life, in his decisions, even in battle. Now, if you're looking ahead there at all, you might come down to verse number 16 and see that somewhere near the end of Uzziah's reign of 52 years. That's a good long time to be the king. Somewhere drawing to the end of his 52 years, he decides, probably in small incremental changes, probably not overnight, but it's came to the point where we find these words in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was filled up to his destruction, or lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. I don't think it happened overnight. I think it happened slowly as his strength continued to build and as he began to create a name for himself, and it tells us that he did. He was becoming a pretty great individual, powerful. And it began to have an effect on his innermost being, on the core. You couldn't tell it from the outside, perhaps for a long time. A little bit like a tree that's somewhere located on this property. It looks, I can take a picture of it from a certain angle, and if you were to scrutinize that picture, you would probably have a hard time seeing the tree for what it really is, because I can take a picture at a certain angle and it looks pretty good. But if you get up close and walk around to the other side, you'll notice that it has been eaten out on the inside. And if you look close, about 10 feet up the tree, the bark is really showing some sign that there's something wrong underneath. I really think that if I were to take something and hit the bark very hard at all, it would just fall off. It just seems to be hanging there. Maybe that's what it was with Uzziah, that there was still the covering on the outside of nice looking bark, but he was being eaten up on the inside with this strength that he had developed. And it was lifting him up to be strong in his own accord. Paul Webster said very succinctly, he said, "We cannot simply do what is right in our own eyes and then expect the Holy Spirit to come down and bless our labors." We cannot simply do what is right in our own eyes and then expect the Holy Spirit to come down and bless our labors. I referred to it a little bit this morning, but I really didn't get into it. But have you ever sat down and talked to somebody who doesn't believe the way they used to believe, and to listen to them share how it has taken place in their mind to justify doing the things that they do now? Have you ever walked away from a conversation like that and you've wondered, how in the world can they justify their justification processes? How does that work? How does that pan out in their thinking? But they've made sense of it for themselves. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, he said. Now that's referring to Asa. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. That was Asa's circumstances when we find the context of God's eyes looking for somebody to help. We get over here, back over here to chapter 26, where we find the record of Uzziah, and we see that Uzziah became a leper. That God brought leprosy. And it was such that they were able to watch it. You see, there's always a consequence when we go against the Word of God, the principles of God. We want God to help us. We want God to be with us. We desire His presence. We need His help. But we're going to have to make sure that we are in the place to receive God's help. Oh, that's Old Testament, Brother Ziegler. I thank God for the Old Testament. Paul told Timothy that the Old Testament was profitable for so many things: doctrine, correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness. It's there. I believe that this speaks to us tonight as well. God helps those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Not that God helps those who help themselves is terribly wrong in a different context. But God is looking for somebody to help. I believe that He's helping us. There's some things that have been happening. Some hearts, I believe that God is helping us. Let's be careful to walk with Him. My God is enough. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Greg Hampton, would you dismiss us in prayer?